Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. God designed women to know everything. That's why women have peripheral vision. You know, all men have long-range vision. Women have peripheral vision. That's why hunters, men hunt. They want to see far away. That's why they can't find their socks in the door or the butter in the refrigerator. Men can't find anything right in front of them. I don't see it. Back up. There it is. Men are four times more likely to be broadsided in an accident than a woman because he can't see it coming. That's why wives tear the dashboard of a car. Just boom, whoa, whoa, watch out. Look where you're going. Husband, dear God, shut up. I'm not even come close. You're driving me nuts. What's the matter with you? And see, women need security for them, their children. Come on. But a woman is four times more likely to either rear end somebody or be rear-ended because women have no depth perception. That's why women cannot read a map or Pella or park. It's true. Because men are born with a great big ear for spatial ability in the back right hemisphere. Men love fast cars and guns and shooting and baseball and basketball and football and running. They love distance things. All video arcades in America are full of teenage boys, not teenage girls. Because girls are not born with spatial ability. They got a little bitty thing in the bottom part of their brain for spatial ability. If they have some, that's real good, but most of them don't. That's why they can't parallel park. But girls are born with areas of speech. When a baby girl is born anywhere on this planet, she's got four dots on top of her head, two in each hemisphere. Those are areas specifically for speech. You do a brain scan of a brand new baby girl, boom, what are those dots? Speech areas of the brain. Do a brain scan of a baby boy, boom, no areas for speech. That's why men don't talk as much. They just look at you. Three-year-old girl has twice the vocabulary of a three-year-old boy. Boys outnumber girls 13 to 1 in remedial reading classes in public schools. My wife came to church one Wednesday night. We're out here waiting, got 6 of our kids. And she comes out of the bathroom and says, Joe, come here. I want you to meet these ladies. This is Betty, Fredna, Billy Jean. That's your husband, Bill, Frank, Bob. Their kids are here. They go here. He works here. They go, it's like, how y'all doing? I don't know you people. You know, like, and we're coming in church. It's like, come on. They're singing. Let's go. And I'm sort of frustrated. And I'm just talking. What are you people doing there? I mean, y'all like sit down at a table, exchange resumes or something? I mean, what is it? You make 3 new friends in the bathroom. How do you do that? She said, Joe, don't you talk to people in the bathroom? I said, no, it's not right. I said, no, we are not shaking hands and introducing ourselves in there. No. My son followed me into the bathroom like 3 Wednesday nights later, and he's my youngest. I got 5 girls and a boy, and he's my youngest. And I came out, and Denise is there with the girls. I said, where's John? He followed you in the bathroom. Didn't you see him in there? I said, honey, I'm not meeting people. I'm not looking at anybody now. I'm not introducing myself. I don't know. I'm not taking a roll call. I don't know. And so mamas, as we get older in our married life with children, mamas get frustrated because they think men are Neanderthals. Listen, a woman hears 5 tones, a man only hears 3. That's why men never hear the baby cry at night. They can't hear it. When a man reads a newspaper, he's 70% deaf. He can't hear. For a man to go from one part of his brain to the other, he has to close the door behind him. A woman has all doors open all the time. She can multitask. A woman can drive down the interstate at 65 miles an hour while staring into a rearview mirror, putting on makeup, talking on a hands-free cell phone, listening to the news, and not miss a single item and not have a wreck. God designed the female brain different than the male brain. You see a man going down the interstate on the cell phone, insurance company say, get away from him, because he will drive to the intensity of that conversation. When he hangs up, he'll either be 25 or 105. Oh, dear God, look at that. So women can multitask. Men don't multitask well. So mamas have to learn how about doing that. So that's why mamas love to plan. They want a calendar. They want a time. When we going? When are you supposed to be there? Mamas who are smart plan their life. You're going to need to, because the older you get, the busier it will get. You need to order your day. God, order, teach me to order my steps. Teach me to number my days. And men, they just like showing up most of the time, but not women. A smart mama will plan her life, or some kids are not going to get their science fair project turned in. Do you know that? We had this happen. One of my kids, and I was a school administrator, came to me on a Thursday night before Friday when the science fair project was due. She's crying. He's like, what's the matter, babe? I have a science fair project due. I'm like, don't worry, we'll help you get it. No, it's due tomorrow. I forgot about it. Tomorrow? Tomorrow? You got a science fair project due tomorrow? What are we supposed to do about that? You going to get an F? My wife says, you're supposed to help her. So you figure something out. I can't figure it out. 10 o'clock at night. tonight. What are we going to do tonight? When are you going to get a science fair? It's Walmart. Got a, we here are science fair projects right here on the shelf. Which one would you like? She said, I don't know. You just need to pray in the Holy Ghost to go get the mind of God, because you're her father. You need to help her do that, because mamas know about this. You know, like, if you don't plan, we'll just plan for the next 2 hours. We're going to get something done. We don't have to be there till 8 in the morning. So I'm mad. I'm driving to town. We live way out in the country, and I'm screaming and yelling. I'm being a real nasty father. What's the matter with you? Where's your head at? Don't you know how to plan anything? And I'm just yelling. And so finally, I just finally said, I'm sorry, because she's praying in the Holy Ghost, and you shouldn't scream at your child when they're praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm yelling. But man, this is wrong, you know. I can't help it. What are we going to do? I said, okay, we're going to have to problem solve. So let's go down here. So I just stopped at the 7-Eleven. I'm not driving all the way to Walmart. We need a miracle either way. So if God can do miracles at 7-Eleven, just like you can at Walmart. So let's just walk in there. Well, she really started crying like, Dad, there's nothing in here. Yeah, there is. Shut up. We're praying the Holy Ghost. There's something in here. We're going to figure something out. I walked in. We walked in. Of course, they're nervous when you walk in. Can I help you? Not yet. We're looking for something. What? Science fair project. He just kind of laughed. I don't think we have those. Yeah, you've got something in here somewhere. Trust me. We kept walking around those two little aisles. It's got to be something. So I picked up a bag of 250 cotton balls, 6 bottles of different brands of hairspray, and a box of matches. And I said, we got a science fair project. Corey's just crying, Dad. No, shut up. I got something. Trust me. We go home. We light up those cotton balls in 6 rows on a piece of plywood on the back porch. And I took that hairspray and I soaked 1 row of it. I said, get your stopwatch out. Where'd your stopwatch? Get your stopwatch. Set them on fire. See how long this burns. All right. Okay, here's the next bit of hair. And so I just timed the flame retardancy of hairspray. You know, how quick will it burn and how long will it burn? And so she got a B on that project. Now, we stayed up all night doing the board thing, you know. And I would like to tell you which man it was, but I don't want anybody to sue me. All I can say is, you know, if you're wearing white rain, don't get near the stove. If you run out of lighter fluid, you know, for the grill, smart women, plan number 3, smart women are flexible. Smart mamas are flexible. Women can turn on a dime, man. They can flip one switch to the other. Listen, women know things don't stay the same. Look, one day they're beautiful, and then they get pregnant, and the belly swells out, they have the baby, things don't look the same, and now this child's here. Like, look at that. Now they're talking, and they're walking, and now they're dating. It's like, mamas know things don't stay the same. We have to be flexible. Men do not like flexibility. We like to sleep on the same side of the bed, drink out of the same cup, eat off the same plate, and sit in the same chair. Don't think that's my chair. We like stability, but mamas know things are going to change. In 1969, when I graduated from high school, you could buy a brand new house for $16,000. Brand new, 3 bedroom, 2 bathrooms, split level, 2,000 square feet. I should have bought a neighborhood and rented the rest of it out. You could buy a brand new car, a brand new truck for $3,200. The average yearly salary in 1969 was $6,400 in America. Gasoline was a whopping 35 cents a gallon. We had just had a gas war. He had to jump from 22 to 37. My father did not drive to work for a week. He was mad. We will not make it. America could not survive at 37 cents a gallon. It will crush this nation. We should have dug holes in the ground and bought tanks and just bought every gallon we could and saved it. Mamas know things don't stay status quo. You have to be flexible. You have to roll with the punches. You have to change, because things will not stay the same. We have to keep moving up the food chain. We got to do different. And I remember my wife told me 10 years into our marriage, we were riding back from a trip we took. And she said, Joe, I've been a low-maintenance woman for you. I said, well, you have. She wasn't mad. She's real happy. I said, you have, and I appreciate that. She said, that's about to change. Because I perceive you're coasting on me. And it's not time to coast. It's time to kick it up a few notches. We got to fighting about money just a few weeks later. And she said, Joe, you're trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip. I used to work as an engineer. I love numbers. She said, you're trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip. I'm here to tell you that's not your job. That's my job. Your job is plant more turnips. And I realize I can't stay the same. You can't live in the same house, drive the same car. We got to constantly be flexible and moving. Smart mothers know that, so they never settle in. Mamas never settle. Which brings up the next thing big, great mamas do. They have big dreams. Mothers have big dreams. Ephesians 3:20. God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Mamas dream big. They think big about their children, about life. College. My wife told me when we were first married, all of our kids are going to college. I said, really? Who's going to pay for that? I don't know. You will if you don't get any scholarship money, but they're all going, because we came out of horrible poverty. Her family out of the coal mines of West Virginia, mine the copper mines of East Tennessee. She said, we're not growing up that way. My kids are going to get an education. It's not thus saith the Lord. It's just thus saith us. So to motivate them, years later, we bought these big frames, double pane frames, massive things, black rim, big glass. You suspend a document and it just hangs there. Brass nameplate on the bottom, put all their names on it. 6 of them hanging on the wall, cover half the wall. And my kids came home from school and they looked at me and said, what is that? I said, well, that's where you're going to hang your college degree when you get it. Really? Yeah, you're going to get your college degree. It's going to stay right here in my house. We're going to help you get that. It's going to hang right here on this wall. One of my kids said, well, what if we don't want to go to college? I said, well, that means 20 years from now when you come back to our house with your three children for family reunion, you can explain to them why you're the only doofus with a blank frame. Because everybody else is going to have one. And it's all working out. Mama's dream big, and it makes daddy's nervous because daddies are counting pennies and dimes and nickels and whatever. Mom said, don't you settle because we got to move up the food chain. Mom wanted to go on vacation. We went to my father's farm for 15 years on family vacation. 15 years in a row we went. And I loved it. Big farm in East Tennessee. Bedrooms. Mama's a great cook. Dad's got bass boats, rods and reels, shotguns, hunting dogs, free babysitting, free food. It's wonderful. I'm embarrassed to say I did that for 15 years. We're riding back through Memphis, coming back to my father's farm, and my wife said, Joe, I'm not going there on vacation anymore. Where? Your father's farm. We'll go visit, but we're not going there on vacation. I want to go on a real vacation. What kind is that? The kind you pay for. I said, where do you want to go? She said, Disney. I said, as in world? She said, as in Florida. I said, we can't afford to go to Disney. She said, it's all right. You got 12 months to get us there. 12 months, I saved money, used all the faith I could. We made it to Gaston, Alabama. We ran out of food, money at Gaston, Alabama. So we had vacation in Gaston, Alabama. It's not even in the state of Florida. But we had a good time, stayed in a real nice little motel, went to the Chinese all-you-can-eat buffet, kids eat free, and $1 movie theater, went to the free museums. My wife never dropped one time because she knew I did everything I could. Next year will be better. Next year we got to Jacksonville, Florida. Still not Disney, but we made it inside the state of Florida. We're not on the water, but we can drive to it. We want to have a wonderful time. Jacksonville, Florida is the largest city in the United States. All 7.8 billion people could fit inside the Jacksonville, Florida city limits. I know that because that's in the phone book and that's free reading. The third year we made it to Clearwater Beach Hotel. Beautiful, high-end place. We're moving up. Money's wisdom, faith, it's all growing. We're sitting there on that little bay, and we're sitting there in our lawn chairs. Kids are playing in the water. I said, it's good, isn't it, babe? Moving up the food chain. Not Disney yet, but we're getting there. It's good, isn't it? She said, Joe, you're doing good, but this is not the real ocean. The real ocean's on the other side of the state. This is the backwater, so don't get too excited. And besides that, I want you to drive us to Disney tomorrow. I said, babe, I can't afford to go to Disney. She said, they don't charge you to park. I've read. You're going to go show the children where you're taking them next year. We got up the next morning because I'm a good husband. We loaded up the car, ate Hardee's for breakfast, drove over to Disney, parked in the Mickey Mouse section, rode that little golf cart tram to the front gate. There we are, Disney. People are pouring in. Big trams coming by, choo-choo train. There's Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, balloon. And we're watching. We just got to the bars like we were in jail and just stared in. My kids are so excited. Look at that, it's Disney. Woo! We turned around with our backs to them and had this little Oriental couple come up and take our picture with our backs to Disney. We had that picture developed. We went back home. Corey went to school. And they asked her, what did you do this summer? She took a picture. We went to Disney. And next year, we're going in. We went the next year, stayed in the Ramada Inn in Orlando. We were there when they opened, stayed till they closed. We're riding the ferry boat back across. The fireworks are going off. I thought, I finally did it. 4 years. But Mama has big dreams. We made them happen. I'm looking down. One of my children's crying. I said, what's the matter with you, babe? Too much pizza? What is it? We ain't getting to see Frontierland. What? And see, bro, dude, that we need to go to. And all they did, one day at Disney just makes you mad. And so I got mad. I lost it. I've got $3 bottle of water. I broke. I've been 4 years to get here. And you're crying on me. I said, I'll bring you back. Don't you worry. You're going to come back. I'm going to make you sick of Mickey Mouse. You're going to get sick of Mickey Mouse. We go back the next year, stay at the same Ramada Inn, got the 3-day pass. We wore it out, people. And I made my kids tell us, you're getting on that ride. Get up there. Get on that ride. I don't care if you puke your guts out. You're riding that ride. That was the last roller coaster I ever rode. I saw Jesus twice. I did anything I did. I said, I have nothing left to prove. We're coming off of that. But mamas have big dreams. We don't want to stay the same. And they're always talking their dreams. It's like, calm down, mama. We just got here. No, we're going to go bigger. And smart mamas know to do that. Because if you settle, God will let you settle for whatever you think you want. You don't think enough. God said, I'll do more than you ever think. I'll do more than you ask. I need you to ask and think bigger. Thank God for mamas who do that. The last two are this. Mamas know who their kids' friends are. Smart mamas do. Because Proverbs 13:20, if you want to be wise, you walk with wise men. A companion of fools will be destroyed. Mamas know something. There are more scriptures in the Bible on friends and friendship than there are on the subject of hell. Friends will take you to hell. You better know who they are. So mamas will ask 1,000 questions. Where are you? Who are you with? Who's there? Who else is there? Well, who else is there? When are you coming home? Who are you coming home with? Who's in the car with you? Who are you riding with? Because mamas know something. You better be hanging with good people. And the number one way the devil takes our children out is through their social life. So daddies don't know. They don't know who the teachers are. Who'd you? I don't know. I'm just glad you're home. Clean up your room. No, mamas, they'll ask. And thank God, mamas, you do what you do. Because you need to ask. Because children need that guidance. More at 18 than they ever did when they were 12 or 5 or 3. Keep talking. Keep asking questions. Keep your relationship tight with them. And the last things mom must do, especially if you're smart, you have eternal hope. You have eternal hope. I love this. Eternal hope. Mamas believe the best for the children. I don't care if they're in jail. Mamas always believe the best because they know God. You know, 1 John 5 says, if you see somebody sin a sin that's not unto death, in other words, if they're not dead, you can pray and ask God to forgive them. Most people don't know that scripture. You can pray for somebody and ask God to forgive them. Even they don't know what to say. The devil's got them gripped and the headlocked and got them blinded. God forgive them. People say, how do you know that's true? Because Jesus did it on the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross. He looked down at people that were not asking for forgiveness. And he asked for the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When kids get in trouble, they'll call home. Mama, pray. Mama, pray. Mama, pray. My favorite hymn in the Bible, in our Baptist hymn when I grew up in church, in Southern Baptist Church, was hymn number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The adults would rock with that song. Man, they'd get in that revival in July, they'd rock with that thing. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I said, man, they're all excited about this. What is this? And I'd listen to the words, and I can still remember them. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing your grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach my heart a melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above the angels. Praise the mount, for I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. And if by thy good pleasure, safely I'll arrive at home. We'd sing that, and I always get to that third verse, and I thought, what are we doing? What did we just do? Here I raise my Ebenezer. Why are we singing about Scrooge and revival? What has Scrooge got to do with Jesus and the blood and the revival? What is Scrooge doing in here? Because Scrooge is a mean man, topwad. And I've watched too many cowboy movies. I thought, well, we're hanging Scrooge. Here we hang, O Ebenezer, because we love Jesus, and we're going to hang these nasty people. And it didn't make sense, so I asked my mom, I said, who's Ebenezer? She said, be quiet. That means you don't know, do you? So I found out who Ebenezer was. He's not a person. He is not a person. It's a rock. It's a big rock. Israel had been sinning for 20 years in rebellion, in sin. They're in trouble. They're in misery. And Samuel's preaching like a mama every day. Repent. If you'll repent, God will, he'll restore you. He'll forgive you. If you'll just repent, God will make all this right. If you'll just get right with God, he'll restore this. I don't care how long you've been an idiot. God will restore you in a moment of time. God will redeem your life. And they wouldn't listen for 20 years. Finally, at the 20th year, they said, fine, we're miserable. We can't stand the mission anymore. We want to turn back to God. Great, Samuel says, come down here to Mizpah. We're going to pray and fast all day, confess our sins, and God's going to make it right. So they came, all of Israel, from the soldiers to the merchants. They got on their face, they're fasting, they're praying, confessing their sins to God. Samuel's there praying with them, and all of a sudden the Philistines heard they were on their face. The devil always attacks you at your weakest moment. That's why the Bible says, where you're weak, there will I make you strong. And all of a sudden, across the hillside came the Philistines to kill these people who are out in front of God just trying to get right. We're just trying to get right with God. And all of a sudden, they looked up and they did what most young person will do when they get in trouble. They'll call their mother. And they hollered with one voice, said, Samuel, pray. You know God. We don't know him. We've been with pray. God will answer your prayers. I don't know how many mamas I've heard. My kid calls and pray, mama. Mama's prayed and God answered mama's prayer. God answers mama's prayers. God answers mama's prayers. And all of a sudden he prayed. God heard his prayer and thundered from heaven. Boom. And all of a sudden the Philistines got confused, started stabbing one another. All of Israel saw what was happening. They got up and chased the Philistines all day until they killed every one of them. Here's a good question. How do you build your child's self-confidence? You know, everybody deals with it, with your kids in kindergarten or preschool or high school. How do you make them more confident, make them more bold? You know, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion, the wicked flee when no man pursues. So how do you raise confident kids? Well, self-worth kids, kids that know what they're valued. You know, there's 130-something scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament alone, and in him, in whom, in Christ. Because you know what the Bible says, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Well, man, it's a war out there. I mean, K4, K5, kids are already comparing themselves. Man, they're good looking. Man, they can throw a ball real far. Man, they can pass the spelling bee. I can't do anything. And all of a sudden, you start comparing yourselves among yourselves, you'll chop yourself up like firewood. Because the number one goal of all kids is to not look stupid. They want to be accepted. They want to be loved. They want to be invited. I want to be part. Next thing you know, they find themselves at the back of the class, the back of the bus, the back of the room. Nobody likes me. Well, usually I just tell my kids, nobody likes you because you don't like yourself. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So how do you build self-confidence? Well, you need to say what God says about it. You know what God says, honey? I don't care if you made three F's and L's for 3 years in a row. God said, you're going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. God said, everything you set your hand to is going to prosper. God said, he's going to surround you with divine favor. People are going to like you and not even know why. God said that your greatest days are in front of you, not behind you. He's going to take you from faith to faith and glory to glory. You got to start saying what God says. That's how you build self-confidence. Because you know what the kids will do? We're just saying that because you're my father. You're just saying that because you're my mother. Well, yes, I am, I guess, but no, I'm doing what God said. I'm to train you and teach you. I'm going to teach you who you are in Christ. You know, we used to do the Hall of Fame, richest people in America, how they got there. You know, most of them are school dropouts. If you ever Google the Failures Hall of Fame, more billionaires and millionaires that never even finished elementary school. The Bible says their gift made room for them, not their IQ, not their GPA, their gift. Every child is born with a gift. No two gifts are the same. You're not like your father or your brother. So, again, don't tell your children, why aren't you like your brother? How come you're not like your sister? Because they're not. They're very unique. So how do you build self-confidence? You're gifted to do something great on this planet. God said so. You might not be good and spell like your sister. You might not be able to get a letter in football like your brother, but you are gifted to do something. God doesn't lie. There's a great gift you He'll never take away. It's going to make room for you. It's going to bring you before kings. It's going to make you wealthy. Start telling what God says. Watch the Holy Spirit watch over that, not just what you think. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.